Good afternoon and welcome to From Where We Are, stories of news and culture through the lens of USC and Southern California. I'm Jordan Sheldon coming to you live from Studio B in USC's Annenberg Media Center.
And I'm Tamilara Odunsi. It's April 12th. On today's show, Ketanji Brown Jackson makes history, and we look at the implications on the Supreme Court. The largest gaming expo in the world is canceled. And a fellow Trojan tells his story growing up as a Hawaiian native.
All of that and more from Where We Are. But first, today's news headlines. This morning, 16 people were shot, with currently no fatalities, in a Brooklyn subway in Sunset Park, and the suspect is still at large. The shooting has no cause of motive, and police are still looking for the possible shooter. The subway was engulfed with smoke bombs amongst the shooting itself, but luckily, there are no reported deaths as of now.
Notable comedian Gilbert Gottfried passed away this afternoon after a silent, long battle with myotonic dystrophy, a condition that affects the efficiency of muscles. Gottfried was known for his iconic voice and his acting in films such as The Aladdin, The Aristocrats, and Fairly Odd Parents. He leaves behind his wife, Dara, and his two children, Lily and Max.
Definitely very tragic news coming from the comedy community. USC has announced that the administration plans to file a lawsuit to Eric Kanevsky and Hugo Bai, the man that stormed into a Taper Hall classroom last week and intimidated the class in the midst of a lecture that I actually happened to be in.
Oh, gosh. The Los Angeles Lakers are officially out of playoff contention with their loss to the Suns on Tuesday night. The team looks forward to rebuilding its core to return with a better record for the next season. Last week, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was confirmed as the first African-American woman on the United States Supreme Court. Here's Evan Wayno on the ramifications of her arrival.
Last week saw the confirmation of Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, the first African-American woman to appear as a justice in the court's over 200-year history. This comes after the announcement of Justice Stephen Breyer's retirement, after a 28-year career as an associate justice on the court, and President Biden's promise to replace him with a black woman that was predicated since early in the 2020 election. Professor Stephen Rich, a professor at the Gold School of Law here at USC, explains what the future of the Supreme Court could be after Jackson's confirmation.
Well, I mean, the short answer to the other question is I don't know that it changes U.S. politics too much, because we didn't see much change in the confirmation process. The confirmation process is still a contentious and overly partisan process.
The court has had a conservative learning since the three appointments made by President Trump in his terms and the two made by President Bush. This appointment could show the court going back to equilibrium of conservative and liberal judges, but Professor Rich believes it will make little difference.
Now, as far as the court goes, the internal workings of the court or the decisions that the court may make in the near future. Personally, I think that the Jackson confirmation is probably less consequential than the prior two confirmations, the Kavanaugh confirmation and the Barrett confirmation, if you are counting votes.
However, on the question of Roe versus Wade and the country's ongoing debate regarding abortion, Rich believes that Jackson may be able to offer new perspectives that her predecessors did not.
Adding another woman to the court who voices concern about the sex equality implications of a reversal of Roe versus Wade, who raises concerns about the experiences of women who are seeking abortion, the dignitary harms that may be faced in continuing to increase the level of scrutiny on abortions, that may have some impact.
In addition to abortion, Rich praises the fact that more of America will be able to know that people from all backgrounds will know it's possible to be on the Supreme Court.
And in terms of future nominees, you know, hopefully there's a sense in which Jackson paves the door for a continued diversification of the court.
From Annenberg Media, I'm Evan Bueno.
E3 is considered the largest gaming expo of the year, but in late March, the Entertainment Software Association announced that this year's E3 has been canceled. Bella Durgan-Johnson has more on what this means.
This cancellation is the second time E3 has canceled its event since the pandemic. Last year's event was virtual, but this year there won't be an event at all. E3 has taken place annually at the Los Angeles Convention Center since 1995. The event was an industry-only event. Attendees were required to prove a professional connection to the video game industry. But in 2017, the event became open to the public and allotted 15,000 general admission passes. A plethora of blockbuster games were announced at E3, including Metal Gear Solid 2, Final Fantasy VII Remake, and the Nintendo Wii. The event is known for being one of the industry's biggest, showcasing new hardware, games, and projects annually. The Entertainment Software Association is planning for the event to continue in 2023. ESA said in a statement that E3 will return with a reinvigorated showcase that will, quote, bring the community, media, and industry back together in an all-new format and interactive experience. However, many industry professionals feel the relevance of events like E3 is decreasing. Former PlayStation president and CEO Sean Layden told CNET that trade shows are becoming less focused on trade. He says the 24/7 news cycle has lessened the need for a major annual show. There's also a rise in consumer-driven shows like Gamescom, as well as individual company showcases. When E3 first started, major industry players like Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo gave press conferences to share sales, numbers, and projections. Recently, the event has changed, and instead of focusing on those conferences, E3 has become full of celebrity guest appearances, performance, and even orchestras. Weston Belguedes, a junior majoring in interactive media and games, discusses the relevance of E3.
I think it's just outdated. I mean, we have so many other expos. The Summer Games Fest is going to be instead of E3. I'm excited because he focuses a lot more on indie games, and that's really where the passion is being driven. Indies are rising to the top because publishers are no longer necessary.
Several of the usual attendees, including Nintendo, EA, and Sony, were absent from the last in-person event in 2019. Other events, such as Summer Game Fest, have stepped into the limelight in the absence of E3.
Because the trade show is less focused on actual trade and more focused on making it a show for announcements. And I don't think people are interested in that. There's all these different expos that people can attend based on different sort of demographics or psychographics of the type of video game or its genre. I think that's definitely the way the industry is going.
While E3 is planning to make a comeback, the industry foreshadows the fall of what was once one of the largest gaming expos of the year, to be replaced with conventions for the general public and year-round online showcases from developers and publishers. For Annenberg Media, I'm Bella Durgan-Johnson.
Once again, I'm Jordan Sheldon, and we're so glad that you're here with us for From Where We Are.
And I'm Tamilara Odunsi. It is 8 minutes past the hour. Coming up, a USC faculty member tells his story growing up as a Hawaiian native. And we talk to Jordan Jones, vocal artist, pop culture enthusiast, and Instabaddie. Stay with us. Hawaii and pineapples. Many put two and two together, but not every Hawaiian loves a sweet, tangy, tart, sugary, juicy fruit. For more, reporter Lutien Wang spoke with Isaac Vigila, a native Hawaiian faculty member at USC.
While you may have heard that a pineapple symbolizes hospitality and friendship, one interesting fact about this fruit is that Hawaii used to supply over 80% of the world's canned pineapples. While people now link pineapples to Hawaii, Isaac Vigila, a native Hawaiian working as an academic advisor at USC Annenberg, shared his conflicted feelings on the popular Hawaiian fruit.
Yeah, I think it is tough for us. I think some of us recognize that at one point of Hawaii's history, we did rely on a lot of exports, like fruits. But I think tied to that is a tough and controversial history when it comes to immigration and kind of the exploitation of various immigrants to support the pineapple plantations, and then also how all of that was directly related to the illegal overthrow as well. So I think it's, for Native Hawaiians like myself, I think it's very difficult to think about that history that's related to things like pineapples and tourism and Waikiki, because it just reminds us of the continued exploitation of Native Hawaiians and our land.
As Fajola said, this fruit lies in a period of brutal history. Besides pineapples, there is still something about the Native Hawaiian language that many people don't know. The Native Hawaiian language was once banned in Hawaii by Western colonizers. The revitalization and recovery of Hawaiian culture is still ongoing today.
But because of the influence of Western religion and missionaries, they, to your point, they did outlaw the Hawaiian language. And for a lot of that, you know, you pile on the illegal overthrow, you know, the annexation, the statehood of Hawaii, and it really suppressed the Hawaiian culture. And it wasn't really until the 70s or 80s, where there was like a Hawaiian Renaissance, where a lot of Native Hawaiian educators and leaders were looking back on how do we revitalize the language and look at kind of the fallout. And even so, like Native Hawaiians right now are fighting for, they continue to fight for sovereignty. They're trying to create a nation within a nation that's similar to kind of how the Native Americans have it set up. But, you know, going back to my grandma not being able to speak it in school, but having to learn all of these things at home and under the table, and you know, they went to Catholic school where it was English only, no Hawaiian.
Language is part of identity. Native Hawaiians are a race of people. And even the name Native Hawaiian is defined by the U.S. people. Coming to study in California in 2007 and having been working at USC for over 8 years, Virgilia self-identifies predominantly as Native Hawaiian, but also associates himself with other ethnic roots, as many Hawaiian families, like his, carry a trove of complicated immigration history.
Yeah, I still primarily identify myself as Native Hawaiian, but I'm also Chinese and Filipino as well. You know, if you look at my family tree, I'm literally a descendant of all immigrants, basically, except Japanese. You know, if you go deep into my line, you know, I have someone from Spain and Portugal. You know, my paternal grandfather's from Filipino, but the families that I was raised by really were my Hawaiian Chinese family and my Hawaiian Filipino family. So that's kind of what I primarily identify with in terms of, you know, culture and in terms of language. You know, at one point I was fluent in Hawaiian, but, you know, like a lot of things, you don't use it, you lose it, right? So I think that's one thing I'm looking to maybe pick up again, you know, to try and build up my skills. But
for Annenberg Media, I'm Lutin Nguyen.
You're listening to From Where We Are. Coming up is an interview with USC student Jordan Jones, who's a vocal artist, pop culture enthusiast, and Instagram baddie. You can continue listening on our YouTube live stream.
That's Annenberg Radio News on YouTube. The full version will also be available on uscannenbergmedia.com.
I'm loving the music right now.
Yeah, it's very...
I'm very much vibing to it.
Yes. Okay.
I feel like I'm at the beach right now.
We are here with Jordan Jones, everyone! Welcome to Studio B. How are you feeling?
Pleasure to have you.
I'm feeling great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Okay, Jordan, so we did your little introduction. I mean, what do you not do? Vocal artist, popular culture enthusiast,
Style.
Stylist, everything. I mean, you got the whole package.
No, y'all are...
Y'all are hilarious. You guys need to see Jordan. Like, every single time I see him, it looks like he's like fresh off a runway or some sort of TV, like magazine, something. Like, he's always, always dressed for wherever he is.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Jordan, are you excited for today's discussion? We have talked a little bit about what's going on in pop culture, award shows, the reemergence of the popularity of them currently. And we all know, you know, what happened at the Oscars not too long ago.
Ciao. I'm excited to talk about
There's
it.
There's a
though.
Lot to unpack
There's
there.
There's a lot oh, to yeah. unpack. Okay, so let's start with, you are known as a very stylish person. Lord. And I think a lot of people can attribute to that, seeing you on campus. And we talked a little bit about some of the celebs and what they're wearing currently at the Grammys, the Oscars. And by the way, his commentary on, you know, just everything that they wear is so, like, well thought out and just so entertaining. So I'm excited. But I want to ask you, who are some of the celebs that you've seen recently at some of these award shows that you love their outfits and you're like, I can kind of that, and you're like, I can kind of live without.
Okay, so, well, thank you. I feel, I'm glad that you think that is very thoughtful. I think the girls have been giving. Yes. I really think the girls have been really giving recently. Especially
top three.
Okay, at the Oscars, Jessica Chastain.
Yes.
Tiffany Haddish. and then everybody's coming for Jada Pinkett's dress, but I thought that it was, I think yeah. that even if you don't really like love the style on yourself, I feel like, you know, fashion is also art. So you have exactly. to, you have to appreciate it that it is art.
What do we think of the Amy Schumer dress?
Not absolutely god awful.
It was one of the worst things
so
I think I've ever
much.
Seen.
Wow.
No, the bow.
At least make a real bow instead of drawing it on the dress.
No, yeah, she looked how she normally looks.
Oh, man.
But, you know.
The shade.
Oh, yeah, her dress was about as good as her jokes usually are. But
I actually have heard people
she has looked
use
better.
That a lot. Yeah.
She has looked better, yeah.
And, you know, I honestly, you're going back to reverting back to Jada and like her mm-hmm. dress and everything, I think a lot of people definitely saw it that night with everything that went on with Will and Chris Rock. And, yeah. you know, we don't need to get into it because I feel like everyone and their mother in Hollywood knows about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But just like what are some of your thoughts and like how, you know, some people are saying that, you know, what happened or occurred was scripted. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of these different weird things going on that are bringing more popularity to the shows. Yeah. We also talked about influencers as well. Mm-hmm. You're an influencer yourself.
Okay, ciao. Not too much on that.
okay. Maybe I shouldn't go that far. But seeing the fact that a lot of influencers are being brought to these award mm-hmm. shows like the Grammys, the Oscars, and being sponsored by, you know, popular social apps like Instagram. So what are some of your thoughts about like this new reemergence of, you know, I guess basically advertising and like trying to reach more people through this drama and mm-hmm. and new generation of content creators?
Well, I'm gonna try to hit everything that you said. I don't think that it was scripted. I think that what happened was not a great situation. At the same time, I feel like you can't really have a conversation about his actions and how they were wrong when you are still giving out Oscars to child molesters and people who have done absolutely heinous things and they just happen to have a different skin color. But I think that drama, I mean, it definitely adds to ratings. You know, the Oscars ratings have been very low recently and so have like all the award shows. But I think pertaining to influencers, I feel like, as a person who's like deep into the arts, you know, as an opera singer, like as a person who's studied the Grammys and stuff like that, it's like, okay, I can understand this influencer is a singing influencer or something like that. But also just like, if it's not, I don't know, like Addison Rae at the Met Gala, she has done nothing for fashion, but I can understand if, you know, like other influencers who do fashion content, you know, are invited to these things. I feel like they just have to have a place there and have to have some bearing over, you know, what is happening, you know.
Well, your opinions are always very valued here at Annenberg Media. Thank you so much for coming on. Sorry this interview has to be so short, but I'm sure you can catch Jordan and Tammy Laura spilling tea in the future.
Yes. Podcast. Jordan needs to start his own as well because he is very entertaining, very charismatic. So make sure you guys follow Jordan's socials. You can do a little plug.
All of my socials are at Jordan Jones OFC.
Yes, guys, check him out. Check out some of his style inspo. And also check out some of the celebs we were talking about. Let's see what you guys think about, you know, who wore it best or who didn't. So thank you so much for joining us again, Jordan.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
And that is all we have time for today on Today's From Where We Are. Spencer Klein, Jeffrey Lee, and Polina Sharazova produced today's show. We also got help from Shirley and Jahad.
Polina Sharazova is our technical operator, and Derek Ronfro composed our theme music.
We're also streaming live on KXSC. You can follow KXSC at kxsc.org/listen and on YouTube at Annenberg Radio News. Be sure to subscribe to From Where We Are on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if you're looking for more news, be sure to download Annie, Annenberg's news app. Finally, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Annenberg Radio. Once again, I'm Jordan Sheldon.
And I'm Tammy Lara Odunsi. From all of us at Annenberg Radio, wherever you are, we hope you'll join us again for
From Where We Are. And that's our show.